Professor Mayana Jury is the Deputy Vice Chancellor Māori at Massey University, and he writes that instead of undermining the achievements of previous Māori leaders, the government ought to concentrate on addressing the root reasons of the high rates of poverty among tamariki. And he's kindly with us at the airport. Mahana, tēnā koe, hoki maira.
Morena, Dale, tēnā koe, e hoa, tēnā koutou katoa.
Māori ora kā koe. Why have you moved into this space? Look, many people are making comment about the child poverty statistics that are going the wrong way in your academic mahi. What's drawn you into looking at not just those statistics, but the underlying causes of them, i.e., the root reasons of high rates of poverty among families? That's how come tamariki ended up living in poverty. But what's brought you into the mix, Mahana? What's concerning you?
I think there's two answers to that question, Dale. The first, of course, is that what we understand is that Māori-led research into areas such as inequities as encountered by our whānau is incredibly important. And the reason it's important is because our teams of Māori researchers have the best levels of access to our whānau and to our communities. And in having that access and in terms of building that trust within our and across our communities, the data that is brought back to various projects is very accurate. So the level of accuracy in terms of Māori-led research into those areas is incredibly important for us, because the more accurate the data, the better we know where to begin. There'd probably be other things to add to that, though, is that as much as we focus in on the reasons behind, for example, intergenerational cycles of whānau poverty, we also need to have a very important focus placed on the determinants of flourishing. And it's those determinants of flourishing that are evident, actually, in a whole range of more recent kaupapa-driven initiatives across our communities. You know, Dale, I'd probably just take one example, Ngā Tini Whetū, which has been a whānau water-driven project over the last decade. Now, Ngā Tini Whetū is really, a reflection of whānau water priorities, i.e., enable whānau to take the tino rangatiratanga of their health, enable whānau to access better opportunities into kaupapa Māori education, enable whānau to be able to build intergenerational whānau wealth. Now, all of those things, of course, won't necessarily make changes overnight, but we have to also focus on what's important to empower and enable our whānau to flourish.
I think it's an interesting look at the issue. So often through the media, we're exposed to the deficit model of reporting. You say the accuracy of Māori research processes should be highlighted here, and looking at some of the positivity that's occurring there as well. It's almost turning statistical information on its head, isn't it, Mahana? Are there reasons for us to be encouraged at our resilience rather than looking at the doom and gloom picture that these stats paint?
I think you're right. I think, you know, we think of that notion of tokotu moana, the rock that's impervious to the rocky storms out there in the ocean. And, you know, we do have a high level of resilience as Māori, but we shouldn't rely on our resilience to enable us flourish. So the, you know, bringing it back to the discussion around what the statistics and the data tell us, you're right, that we shouldn't get caught up too much in the deficits, and we shouldn't be deficit theorizing, and others shouldn't be about our people. What we need to know is what got people into that situation to begin with, and what do we have to do collectively in order to empower our people to be getting out of, you know, for example, intergenerational cycles of debt. Now, building whānau estates and building intergenerational wealth for whānau, there's a lot of fantastic projects happening at the moment, and there's a lot of things that are being led by our rangatahi in terms of financial literacy. Now, all of those things need to be well-funded, and all of those things need to be highlighted as success stories. But I would also just reflect on some of the earlier, you know, research projects that happened in, for example, the 1990s. Te Hoi Nukuroa, which came out of Te Pūtahi Atoa at Massey University, was a longitudinal research project which followed the trajectories of whānau over a couple of decades. And what that sort of gave the researchers an ability to do was to understand the drivers that either contribute to languishing or flourishing. So we need to ensure that for the current government that they're able to fund Māori-led projects and Māori-led research that will give us the answers to the problems. Probably the other thing to add, though, is that the current, you know, trend, we were seeing an increasing number of tamariki living in what I would probably call abject poverty. That trend is going to increase if we continue to see government policies such as the disestablishment of Te Aka Whai Ora, which from all accounts might happen this week. You know, once you take away things that our people have built off the back of three generations and three decades, for example, of championing Māori health, those things have an inherently negative impact upon our ability to move forward confidently into the future. So, you know, I think the government really does need to take a cold, hard look at the impacts of some of these decisions. The other one around the, you know, the reversal of the smoke-free policy, that's going to impact Māori significantly, and there are going to be a number of Māori lives lost because of that decision. So, you know, all of those things, what they mean is that it takes our people out of work, it makes our people dependent on the health system, other people have to cover for them, and that just ensures that there's a continuous kind of cycle of you know, what I would probably call abject poverty for some. And so we have to have the ability to work collectively to get our people out of that situation.
Mehana, a lot of incoming MPs and those who've been there for a while have pretty high opinions of themselves, their understanding of the lay of the land. But what you're talking about is accentuating the positive. And I just wonder whether you think our MPs, I know it's generalising it slightly, but whether they get it, that the difference between flourishing and languishing, that there are many positives that they could work to tautoko rather than to pull down the efforts of good people in years past. Does Wellington get it?
I think what we're seeing right now is a purposeful ignorance of the tenets of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, because within Te Tiriti o Waitangi, of course, and He Whakaputanga, that guarantees rights for us as Māori. And what we're seeing is a number of decisions and policy decisions as well, which are being made without giving due consideration to what Te Tiriti o Waitangi requires governments to do. So that's something that I think we should all be very concerned about. The other thing too, though, is that we're also seeing the disestablishment of work that has been championed by successive leaders, but also it's work that's come out of the community and it's come out of, cooperatives of whānau, of hapū iwi, and all sorts of people who've worked together to build good things. And, you know, you have to question why is it that those things are now being disestablished when they've already been proven to work? So we should be, I guess, concerned about that. But equally, and as, you know, Kingi Tuheitia mentioned earlier this year, we have to stand up as Māori, and we have to also look to other leadership models and structures now to get us to where we need to be. So I'm of the view that the time has come to progress the things that were discussed at Te Hui Aamotu in Tūranga Waiwai earlier this year. I think the time has come to think very carefully about what kind of leadership structure which engages and embraces Māori aspirations is going to be best for us moving forward.
Can you share a couple of initial thoughts there? What sort of leadership structure might represent us better than what we've got?
Well, I think one thing that's important is we need to maintain what we've already got, and we shouldn't see a new model of leadership perhaps usurping any of our existing leadership structures, for example, the EU Chairs Forum and you know, other things. But what we need to account for as well is that the Māori demography has evolved rapidly, and it's changing rapidly as well. I mean, 1 in 4 Māori, of course, live in Tamaki Makaurau, and that number is going to increase, it will continue to increase. But equally, we also have a very, very diverse population. We have an increasing number of te reo Māori speaking whānau, and we also have an increasing number of Māori who also whakapapa to Maunganui Akiwa, to the Pacific, and so they have shared heritage and shared whakapapa. So, you know, those things are all very important to account for when we start to talk about leadership. And of course, you know, we've just lost an incredible leader in Efesto. And, you know, the work that he did, he was actually at Waitangi, and he was at Tūranga Waiwai, and he was listening intently to the discussions and thinking about what the implications of the discussions might be for his community. So, you know, we need to really think, you know, quite broadly about how, another leadership platform might take us securely and confidently into the future.
Thanks for sharing some time with us, Mahana, from the airport. And on behalf of our listeners, we very much appreciate it. Ngā mihi.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Professor Mahana Jury Deputy.